It's in your church in Greeley, bought it. Couldn't talk him out of it, but that church is called New Wine. Ayan Hadashah. So I told him I'm up at the counter and I take the cloth and I start wiping the countertop. I go, what can I get you? The bar is open. And because I learned this with Kavik, and I go, we got new wine here. And today, it's free. So have some new wine. Okay, we're in Shemone, which is Exodus 8. We'll get to there. And we're starting the plagues. We're getting right to the end of chapter 7 there. And we left off with the snake being swallowed up, the magician snakes being swallowed up by Moses and Aaron's staff that became a snake. And so we had that being the start of the Exodus, is a swallowing of Egypt's power. And the Exodus will end with the swallowing up of Egypt's power in the Red Sea, drowning them all. So they get eaten and then they get drowned. And so what is in between those two events is the 10 plagues, which we'll be taking our first stab at today, right? So the first plague is blood. And we've known the Nile River turning to blood. We've known about these plagues all of our lives. Why do we know about them? Because of the Bible story, and it's a famous Bible story. And also, after being in the Messianic movement, we do the Passover Seders, and we name all the plagues during the Seder, right? And but this Bible story is really a different kind of story than most, right? Can God really do such events as all these plagues? Of course, we know he can. And the power unleashed on this entire country is just over the top. And it happens because Egypt did not respect God's firstborn son. God says right at the beginning, Israel is my firstborn son. They disrespect God's boy. And we have 10 plagues. And now let me tell you, nothing like this had ever happened on earth since the flood of Noah. And nothing like this has happened on earth since. There has never been anything like the story of the Exodus out of Egypt for Israel, right? But similar events since the history of Israel began here, the history of Israel may end with the second coming with similar events. So we could see the beginning and the end being similar, in which case we would be seeing this supernatural event in our time repeated. It's something to think about. And since we're in the time of Messiah, it could be in the near future. And you know, in the Rev, that the two witnesses have power to do things. Same as Moses and Aaron here have power to do things. And so the two witnesses may be repeating some of these same things, even maybe more so. So there's a lot to say about the plagues, but did you know there's an order to them? And they're miraculous in many ways, but it's not just in the fact that there was always frogs, okay? There was always flies. There was always hail. But in the way that they came is what made them so supernatural in different ways. So like Moses would make them come all at once, and then at his command, they would be gone all at once. And then after the first three, they had borders. A terrible plague here, and then you step into Goshen, and no plague. So the way they come, in their severity, there was always frogs, but then all of a sudden, there's jillion frogs. So they're miraculous. They're very miraculous, but it's so fascinating how they came, right? So let's see. Okay, the order of them, okay? There really is just 9 plagues, and then the 10th is not really a plague. The 10th is an execution. not a plague. And God actually just kills by himself. He kills Egypt's firstborn sons. So that's really not a plague. Okay? The rest of them, though, are natural, and so they're called plagues. Okay, there's three sets of three, and the first three were against the land and the Nile. Okay? And, of course, we already talked about the Nile is Egypt's source of wealth, and it was their source of worship also. And the first three were over the whole country. And it was on this third one of the first three that the sorcerers said, this is the finger of God to Pharaoh. And so in the pattern of the plagues, it's pretty fascinating when you see it as it plays out here. When they said, this is the finger of God, they're the wise men, if you want to say it that way, of Egypt. And so they wised up, is what happened. And then they gave up. And they surrendered to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Not that they worshipped him, but they said, this is the finger of God, and we cannot beat this thing. Okay, now the other six were only on the Egyptians, not on the Hebrews. That's miraculous borders of Goshen. And the last three plagues were more terrible than all the rest of them. And these were made to make Pharaoh know that there is no one like Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in all the earth. That'll come up in Exodus 9. So the word says that the first plague lasted 7 days. And we know that the death of the firstborn was when? On the 14th of Nisan, right? The full moon of Nisan. And because we know when Passover is. So if you look at all the verses, it shows that the first was around June, making it about 10 months altogether. You go through the nine plagues and the execution in about 10 months. So this would be a long 10 months if you were an Egyptian. One thing after another. Now, of these three sets of three, the first two of each set comes with a warning for Moses and Aaron. The third of each set never has a warning. It is just a judgment. And this is, there's two witnesses, and you don't listen, judgment. Then there's two witnesses, don't listen, judgment. Two witnesses, don't listen, judgment. And then the tenth is the execution, the final. So the third never had a warning. The first plague begins when Pharaoh goes to the Nile. So we can start here. He goes to the Nile. Now, some of the rabbis say that since the Pharaoh was considered to be divine and God, that he would sneak out early in the morning to the Nile to go to the restroom, because gods don't go to the restroom. And so he would sneak out in the reeds and go to the bathroom and not get caught because he's God. And now other rabbis say that his going out to the Nile every morning was a worship, and that he would go and worship the Nile. So maybe he did both. Oh, gosh. Oh, yes. Which is not kosher in Judaism to do both at the same time. In fact, I used to have a verse in the restroom, and a rabbi was here once, and he says, we don't actually put verses in the restroom. Anyway, he goes out early in the morning to go to the Nile. And remember, the Nile is worship. Okay, so staff in hand, in his hand, and he sticks his hand out over the Nile, and it immediately changes to blood, killing the fish and making the Nile stink. And you can imagine, blood was everywhere in Egypt, even in the jars and the buckets. And so if you read there in chapter 7, verse 14, Moses and Aaron tell Pharaoh what's going to happen, give the warning. The Lord says, let my people go and worship into the desert and all this stuff. And they do the first plague because nothing happens. So it's even in the jars and the buckets in the houses. So this is an extreme miracle right off the bat. Now, at this point, after Aaron's rod had swallowed up all the other rods, and then seeing the blood come from the staff that swallowed them up, any intelligent person would say, get out and go worship, because the Nile is the source of all their prosperity, and now it is death and stinky. And so the Egyptians had to dig holes around the Nile just to get water to drink. Okay? So blood is everywhere. Now 7 days they had to do this because it lasts 7 days. But the magicians did this same miracle by their magic or trick, and so Pharaoh refused to let Israel go and worship Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and it says that he turned and went into his palace instead. So the magicians were able to do tricks or magic. We discussed whichever. It doesn't really matter if it was by demons or whatever. But at this point, Pharaoh may think that Moses and Aaron are just good magicians, that they are just really good at sorcery, and that maybe even better than his sorcerers. So he turns and goes back into his palace. Okay, now I want to say something here. There is a spirit of stubbornness against God in the world, in mankind, through history. There is this thing of a spirit of stubbornness against God. And this just comes from the fallen nature. We probably all have a little bit of it in us. But this thing, this is the spirit, I believe, that was in Pharaoh in Egypt and is everywhere. The same spirit is everywhere today. A spirit of stubbornness against two things. Against Israel and against the God of Israel. A stubborn, defying spirit. He turns and goes back into his palace, the palace where man rules. In verse 23, it mentions, it in the Hebrew, it says, lavo. You know, lav in Hebrew is heart. And you put an O on it, and it's his heart. Like Shemo is his name, Shem-O. It says love o in Hebrew here. And so it's just not a matter of a lack of understanding or knowledge that we're dealing with. It's not because he's uneducated or mistaken. It's a heart problem. Heart of man. Stubborn, hard hearts. Oh, I tell you. But it is a heart matter here in Egypt, and in these last days, it looks like this spirit that Pharaoh had is everywhere. See, this is the great problem of man today, is the heart. The love of man has grown dark and cold, and it is set against Hashem and against his righteous. His righteous decree. The heart of man is in full rebellion against righteousness of the Bible. Full rebellion against the righteousness of God. It is an ugly and scary thing. Full rebellion against the holy. The holy God, the holy land, the holy people. Full rebellion against holy. It turns away from the truth and goes back into its own palace where man ruled. So the Nile was worshipped. The second plague is frogs. Frogs are also part of the Nile and also connected to Egypt's idolatry. So both objects of the first two plagues were worshipped, and now these objects of worship become the curse. So being the second, there is a warning again. Then there were frogs. And where were the frogs? Everywhere. And it even mentions that they were on Pharaoh's bed. Ooh, doesn't that creep you out? See, he went into his palace, and now the plague follows him. It's in the ovens and the kneading troughs, which means they are jumping on the dinner plates. Now, the magicians did the same thing again. Now, let me tell you, how hard would it be as a magical trick to produce a frog when there are frogs everywhere? Voila, a frog. And Pharaoh goes, there's frogs everywhere. Hello. Can you imagine? We made a frog. We are sorcerer. Ha ha ha. and Pharaoh had them all shot. No. Okay. So Pharaoh summons our heroes here. He's not impressed with the sorcerers, and so for the first time, Pharaoh says, okay, bring in Moses and Aaron, our heroes. All right? And he asks them for help in verse 8 of chapter 8. Pharaoh summoned Moshe and Aharon and said, pray to the Lord, Elohim, to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. So here we have the second plague. It looks like everything is working now, and everything's going to be okay, right? And so Moses replies in verse 10, it will be as you say, so that you'll know that there is no one like the Lord our God. So Moses and Aaron are going to take away the plague, and this will show Pharaoh and Egypt that there is no one like our God. So it's not that they're better sorcerers now. This is to show that there is no one like our God. And how do you say that? But Ivrit in Hebrew? Michael. Who is like God? Michael Enu, our God. Okay. So Pharaoh has sorcerers, but Mikael, who is like our God? And the answer is no one. So all the frogs died, and they heaped and heaped. Now, in the Hebrew, it says heap word twice. and so we're talking lots of dead frogs. In the NIV, it just says a heap of frogs, or heaps of frogs. But in the Hebrew, it's heaps and heaps of, or heaps. But anyway, remember the first plague was in June. So now we're probably in the hottest week of the year. And we have heaps of frogs. So guess what it says? It says, and the land reeked. Woo! And there's probably still some in Pharaoh's bed bound by the bottom of the sheets. Oh, gross. So now when this relief came from the curse and they died, Pharaoh now is supposed to release the Israelites from Egypt, right? And so what happens? Pharaoh made his heart kved. It's once again his heart, but you know the kved word is the kavod word, which is kavod is glory. But kved without the O in it means weight. And you know, you've all heard that glory means the weight of God. Well, kavod is glory, but kved without the O, the vav there, is weight. And that's why you get that translation. But he made his heart heavy in Hebrew and did not shma. Heavy heart and did not listen to them. Just as Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh had said to Moses and Aaron, this is what's going to happen. Okay, so now this is the first time he outright lies, right? And he said in verse 8, I will let your people go, but he did not. So he outright lies. So in these last days, now, once again, we saw that Pharaoh, I believe, is a spirit like we have in the world today, of against Israel and the God of Israel. So in these last days, what also do we have now that is like Pharaoh? We have the liars, the treaty makers, the promise makers, the UN, the Washington, D.C., if I'm elected, I'll move the embassy to Jerusalem. We have a treaty with Iran, so they won't be able to hurt Israel. We have a promise that if they make a Palestinian state and divide Israel, that all the problems in the Middle East would go away. I tell you, I'm reading this Exodus story, and it's like I'm reading today's paper. It's the same story. Liars, promise breakers, treaty breakers. Like the cartoon we used to have in here that had an old Indian chief with his big thing on his head, the chief, and he's sitting down with one of the prime ministers of Israel, I forget which one it was, and he's saying, let me tell you about trading land for peace. How many times did we lie to the Native American Indians? So here we have the first treaty broken with Israel. How many have there been since? I wonder if you could count them all. And the season that we're entering into, how many will be broken in our day? Evil, hard, heavy hearts against two things. Against Israel and against the God of Israel. And the worst one in these last days is Islam. They are the worst, or if you say it, the greatest liars and deceivers when it comes to Israel in the history of the world. It's like when the soldiers got shot in Chattanooga there, the Islamic community condemned the shooting. And the guy on Fox News, the mayor there or somebody, a congressman or something, says, well, we applaud a condemnation, but when are you going to do something about it? See, words are cheap. Lies are cheap. When are they going to do something about it? Instead of teaching jihad every day and then condemning because somebody carried it out in the public. So we're starting the Exodus, and we have two plagues here, and we'll stop. The third plague, though, is interesting, because that's when the magicians tell Pharaoh, this is the finger of the real God, and we'll see what happens with that. And then also with the fourth plague, then there is the separation with Goshen. And so we'll run through these pretty fast, because we don't want to get take a whole lot of time on the plagues, because they're quite negative. But they may be coming around again, because the Pharaoh is back. He's everywhere. But so let me tell you where you live. See, you are Goshenites. You live in Goshen. You are God's people. And even though you're not in Israel, you are in Goshen. So the Pharaoh may have a plague on him, but praise the Lord, you are all shepherds in Goshen. And so we'll also have to look at, why did they have to go into the desert to worship? And what is behind that story? Because if they worship according to how Hashem wanted them to worship, they would be stoned by the Egyptians. So what is it about the shepherd picture that the world hates? It's all in the story of the Exodus. They hate the shepherd picture because they hate the gospel. Israel has the picture of salvation, gospel, and salvation from sin. Yavarekka Adonai Vayishmarek. Yeir Adonai Panavaleka Vihunika. Yiso Adonai Panavaleka Vayoseim Lakash Shalom Bashem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sarhash Shalom. Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious upon you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah. Amen.